This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Jonathan Williams. He's the director of the Tax and Fiscal Policy Task Force at the American Legislative Exchange Council here in Washington. We want to get his analysis on the $26 billion spending package approved by the House and the Senate in the last couple of weeks and will soon be signed into law by the president. According to Democrats, the design is to preserve the jobs in states around the country of teachers and emergency personnel. Republicans say this is another giveaway to unions on a number of fronts, and they also say that it's going to result in higher taxes. And Jonathan, thanks so much for being with us.
It's always good to be with you, Greg.
Well, this is obviously normally jobs that are funded by state budgets, but as the president and some of the Democrats have pointed out, the states don't have the money to keep these jobs, and these jobs are indispensable, so they have to be paid for somewhere, and that's why this is being done at the national level. How accurate is that?
Well, I tell you what, there was once upon a time such a thing called the 10th Amendment to our Constitution, Greg, and as you know, those powers not expressly given to the federal government were supposed to be reserved for the states and the people of the states, and unfortunately, this is just one more encroachment upon the 10th Amendment and the federal government getting involved in something that it absolutely had no basis of getting involved for under our Constitution, and further erodes the state control over education, which I think if we look at education results instead of education inputs and more money for teachers' unions, the results always work out better when there's more local control of education. And unfortunately, with these federal dollars flowing out to the states to quote-unquote preserve teacher jobs, this is only adding, 100 different strings going with it that are going to be with the states far past when these dollars expire in the next 6 months. This is just a six-month extension of these funds. And in the bigger part of this bill is really, focused on propping up poorly run state budgets and Medicaid, as well as the education side. But overall, I mean, this is a huge moral hazard problem for the states because, as most states are facing budget deficits, some certainly budget more responsibly than others. We have California always coming out here to Washington, D.C. with their delegation, with their hands out, asking for more federal funds because they can't, have a responsible budget in the last decade there in California, while other states that took some pretty tough decisions earlier this year to live within their means are being penalized, and their federal tax dollars are going to subsidize the irresponsible states like California, who are estimated to get $1.5 billion in the Medicaid reimbursement match that will be in as part of this bailout bill.
We're talking with Jonathan Williams of the American Legislative Exchange Council, also known as ALEC. And Jonathan, you mentioned California as being one of the least fiscally responsible states. Who are some of the other worst offenders here, and who are some of the good soldiers being punished?
Well, certainly, if you look at bad budgeting states, you need to look no further than, California, New York, Michigan, Illinois, places like this that have, time and time again run up huge deficits because of their spending habits. And then when the bad times come, they just go back to their taxpayers and ask for more, or in this case, they're going back to the taxpayers from other states and asking for more. And a lot of states did build in already in their current budget year. They hoped that Congress would pass these renewal funds, and so they're actually built into their current budgets. Actually, they're not going to be saving any jobs in these states that have budgeted irresponsibly and expected these funds. Even the New York State budget director said, we've already said that, we've expected these funds and that teachers will be still laid off because there's that much of a shortfall. We spent too much during the good times, and now the states are, ready to fall off of a cliff. And especially at the end of the day, when these stimulus dollars do dry up, and they will, we can't keep printing money forever here in Washington, D.C., the states are going to be left with these regulations and strings that are going to put them way behind the eight ball when it comes to ever crafting a responsible budget in the future. But there are states, we mentioned, that have done things responsibly. I mean, you look at the state of Texas, for instance. They actually are still sitting on an $8.2 billion rainy day fund. Even though they've weathered this economic downturn, having a huge budget surplus, there in the Rainy Day Fund. And you believe it or not, Greg, Texas is one state that was targeted in this federal legislation. Had a special provision just relating to the state of Texas saying, you know, you have to keep up these education funds after the initial infusion of cash from Washington. So they're adding extra regulations to Texas's budget going forward, which of all places, we don't want to put more federal regulations on Texas. They seem to be doing a better job than almost anyone today.
So they've got to follow these new mandates from Washington, even though they didn't need the money?
Well, they've got to follow these special little carve out in the legislation that's going to put extra regulation on Texas to increase education spending going forward. And you know, as they're going to come back into session in January, they're going to have a really tough discussion on how to live within their means. They've already ordered all state agencies to come up with a 5% budget reduction across the board. And effectively, this regulation placed on Texas through this federal law is going to take all education funds out of that equation. And so it's awfully hard in the state level to balance a state budget unless you're talking about every program on the books. And when state K-12 education alone takes up 50% or more of most state budgets, it's going to be awfully impossible to balance a state budget if you don't talk about education spending in the same light as everything else.
One of the things that President Obama said on Tuesday, Jonathan, was that it's good that states should feel compelled to get their fiscal house in order, but you know, some of them haven't been able to do that, and so we have to do this. Others might say that he needs to have them face the tough music here and really buckle down and get this done. But if they don't, the argument could go that it's not Arnold Schwarzenegger, David Paterson, or the legislators in these states that are going to suffer. It's going to be public school kids. It's going to be people on Medicaid. It's going to be potentially regular citizens who are deprived of the normal allotment of police and firefighters. So if they're already in this pickle and they don't have the money, what can they really be doing right here and now?
Well, I'll tell you what, this gets back to the misnomer that anytime there's a budget shortfall, the cuts have to come from highly visible things like police and fire and education and health care. You know, that gets down to the fallacy that these are if a governor wants to cut these things off the top, they're admitting that these are the least prioritized areas of the state budget. Which is absolutely incorrect. You know, legislators need to come down and take a fundamental look at budget reform. They say, you know, here's how much revenue we've got coming in. Here's what our spending desires are. You know, there's a difference between needs and wants. And depending on how much revenue we have coming in, let's set up priorities of government. And let's fund the things that our state constitution mandates us to fund. Let's fund the things that our citizens desire. And then everything else, we need to take a pretty hard look at. Because, Greg, you and I and families and businesses all across this country are taking extraordinary tough steps to balance their own budgets and their checkbooks every month. And when they take a look at state government and the federal government, certainly not taking those same tough steps during this downturn, there's a big disconnect there, and they're wondering why that's the case. And so state government just needs to live by priorities just like we do, and let's fund those important things and make sure that the vulnerable citizens don't get thrown under the bus during this time. But there's a way to do that with existing resources. We don't need to, you know, go back to the printing presses in Washington to solve all the state problems. You know, as Brandeis would say, the states are laboratories of democracy, and we forget about that. Let's see what kind of solutions the states can come up with, and believe it or not, maybe Washington can actually learn something from the states here.
Jonathan, unfortunately, our time is up. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks. It's always a pleasure.
Jonathan Williams, Director of Tax and Fiscal Policy Task Force at the American Legislative Exchange Council. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.